Hey friends, welcome to a special edition of the C10 Money Podcast. And today, I'm dropping you into a workshop that we did recently that I wanted to share with you on the podcast because I thought it was just really well received and I thought it might be a blessing to you. But basically, we're covering five common mistakes that are risky mistakes on top of that almost all new investors make, and then what you should do instead. And so if you are considering moving into the world of investing, or you are investing a little bit, or honestly, even if you're a seasoned investor, a lot of these lessons took me a long time to learn. And so I would love for you to check them out. At the end of the, the podcast episode in this case, we have, we're talking about a promo that we're running for our 10X investing course, and we're going to honor that promotion for you as well. So if that is something you are interested in joining, go ahead and do that, and we will honor the promotion that we have offered on there. You may need to email us. You can email us, bob@seedtime.com. Just let us know that you're listening to this on the podcast. And so if that offer is not showing and not available, we will go ahead and honor that and get that into your hands. So all that to say, I hope you enjoy this episode because I think there's a lot that radically changed my financial life from some of these lessons that I've learned. And that's what we were hearing in the comment section a whole lot as we were doing it live. So I hope this really blesses you. And with that, let's get to it. All right. So we're excited to have you here. And what was I going to tell y'all? Let me pull up the slides first. There we go. Boom. There we go. We're rocking and rolling. So tonight we are talking about five common.
A cool little transition there. Yeah, I liked that. Yeah,
wasn't it great?
Wow.
Five common and risky mistakes that almost all new investors make, and then what to do instead. And I am speaking from some experience here.
That's what's great is that when you do make a lot of investments, you learn a lot of things to do and not do.
Yeah, I've made a lot. I mean, pretty much everything I've learned has been from making mistakes, and investing is no different. And anyway, and so what we're talking about tonight really is pure gold. Like, some of you are going to be saved from losing tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars by absorbing this today. And so, you know, Proverbs talks about how you should get wisdom, and wisdom is something that should be sought after more than gold or silver.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing here. So, you know, I know some of you, like, I talk to new investors all the time, and they're like, okay, well, I just want to start investing. I don't really care about learning the stuff. I don't want to go through your course, Bob. I just want to start. And it just always pains me because it's like, oh, it's just gonna make it so much more difficult for you. You're gonna lose so much more. Like, getting the wisdom first is the thing to do. It's just the way God set
it'll
it up.
It'll save you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help out. Like, the goal of this is really speaking to myself, what I wish I would have known before I started. Because again, a lot of these are lessons that I had to learn with money, and they cost me money to learn them. And I would prefer that you learn them without having to lose money by doing it. So
yeah,
most of what we're talking about here, I didn't come up with myself. It's stuff I've learned either from others or, again, from my mistakes or from the Bible. You know, I've been investing for over 15 years. But, you know, again, I want you to learn it the easy way. At the end, we're going to be giving away a $100 Amazon gift card. Just thank you for coming to hang out with us. We appreciate it.
I know exactly what I'll buy.
Yeah, you do, don't you? You always do. She's always got a list locked and loaded. And so after that, we'll share how beyond this, if you want to continue your investing education with us, we have a really big discount on a package that we have right now. And so we'll share about that as well for anybody that's interested. But let's pray and dive in. I'd love to be able to, I think we can get through all this in probably 45 minutes or whatever, and then you can get on to your favorite Netflix show or whatever. But this will be more valuable than Netflix tonight, I promise, okay? So God, thank you for just joining us here, Lord. We're two or more gathering in your name, there you are. And I pray that you would help us to dispense wisdom. I pray that each and every person here would get a nugget, something that they can walk away with and be like, and hold on to it and cherish it in their heart as a reminder of, all right, that is the rule that I am not going to break. That's what I'm going to follow here. And I just pray that you'd help Lynn and I to speak wisdom and just be a help, be a value. And I pray that everybody here just gets something significant and valuable that they need, and that they begin to see and understand how this all ties into the kingdom of God. And it's not just investing just to make more money for ourselves, to become like the rich young ruler, but it's the opposite. It's how do we grow what you've entrusted to us so that we can use it to further kingdom work and mm-hmm. kingdom advancement. And I pray that we would all see that and better understand that. In Jesus' name. And all the people on YouTube said,
amen. Amen.
And then like 15 seconds later, I'll start seeing the amens in the chat. But that's just how it works.
Send them anyway. We don't care. We like to see it.
I do like
seeing
them. But yeah. Anyway, all right.
Randy is here. Randy
Patrick.
I'm
kind of going through. All right, here we go. Here's how this is going to work. We're going to go through these five mistakes. I'm not even going to tell you. We're just going to get into it. All right. Here's mistake number one. Being pressured and rushed into investing decisions, or FOMOing in.
I feel like this could go for literally almost every aspect of life. But
no, a lot of these extend beyond
investing.
Let's
talk about how this applies to investing.
Yeah, so FOMOing, for anybody to know the acronym, fear of missing out. So this is, I have had this.
Are there people that don't know that acronym?
I don't know. If you don't know what FOMO is, F-O-M-O, let us know in the chat. We're breaking it down for you. But I hear this all the time. Like, I mean, and literally, I've had multiple friends, acquaintances, like, Bob, this stock is going to blow up. Like everybody's making so much money on it, or this happens in crypto all the time. It's like everybody just made so much money in this, and so now you need to rush in. Mm. Okay? And this was the first mistake I made as an investor. And honestly, I had to make it a few different times because it's so easy to see everyone else making all this money. And it's like, oh, well, I got to get in. I got to get in now. And you feel this rush and you feel this pressure to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't pay out well. But anyway, I remember being in college. So I was in college during the dot-com bubble. Do you have something to add here?
Well, you do it, and then I'm going to add something. Right. Go ahead.
So, yeah.
Finish your
story. So, during the dot-com bubble, so for brief kind of history of whatever the stock market a little bit. So, I guess it was a late or early 2000s. Yeah, probably right around then. All the dot-com companies are coming out. Mm-hmm. And so everyone is so excited about the future of the internet and how it affects business and whatever. And so you could literally create a company, not even have a website up yet, and then people were valuing your business at millions of dollars, and you hadn't even done anything. And so
you just owned a website.
Well, yeah, you just said, I'm going to start a business, and it's going to do this. I'm going to sell fences online or whatever, and I'm going to call it fences.com or whatever. And I could go to investors, and they would say, oh, that's worth $5, $10 million easily. It's like, we have no sales. We have nothing but maybe a business plan. And so if you watch Shark Tank, all they ever say is, show me the money. Like, what are your sales? Like, prove to me that you are a business that can make money. So anyway, that was just the frenzy that was happening then, is everybody was just going crazy, like so excited and anticipating the potential of an internet business. And it's like, how much money could be made and whatever else. And what happened is all these companies got so overvalued, and then they all came crashing down. And very few survived, but some did. Amazon, eBay, and a handful of others. But anyway, point is, I was in college during this time, and I had a lot of friends who were making, just getting rich, or college rich, which whatever, might have just been a few thousand dollars, I don't know. But as a college kid, getting rich, investing in these companies. They knew nothing about investing. And this comes back to that, old quote of a rising tide, or what is it? A rising tide like
lifts
all boats type of thing, where it's like, you don't have to be a good investor in 1999 or 98. It's like, everything's going up, And and I just remember watching them, and I was so jealous because I didn't have any money to invest, like nothing. And so I'm watching them get rich. But then what happened is the tide came back, and all of them lost, from what I remember, pretty much everything they put in. And so the point is, like, I was actually spared a little bit by not having any money at that point while everybody was, racing in trying to get rich quick and do that whole thing. So this is something that we want to watch for. Now, the rule out of all this, or actually, go ahead and say what you're going to say.
I feel like I've heard you talk about this before. You called it the gotta have it now tax. mm-hmm. where it's, you're basically paying money to have something right away to, or, and you're basically, you are the experiment
yep.
on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Are you ready to lose the money?
Yeah.
Like when you put it in, you have to be like, I'm ready to lose this money. And yeah. if you're not ready to lose the money, wait. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get into more of that. But yeah, if it feels rushed, don't do it.
If it feels rushed, don't do it.
And so when your brother-in-law comes running up and's like, oh, this stock, you got to get it. It's going up so fast. You got to do it now. You got to do it now. You got to know. This is when you take a deep breath. You relax. Mm-hmm. And this is also why it's so good to pray about your investing decisions. Mm. Because God can help bring you back to reality. And God's not in a rush. There's no rush here.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, this whole rushing thing, like this applies, I think this is just in general, walking with God. Mm-hmm. Like this applies far beyond this. Like anytime yeah. I've been in a situation where I have felt like intense pressure and like, you got to do this now, you got to do it now. And it's coming from an external force. There have been moments where the Lord has placed something on his heart, like, you need to go over here and get your child right now.
Right.
And we've had a couple of those moments. That's a different thing. Mm-hmm. But when there's any external pressure, you have to make this decision today. If you don't decide today, you're going to lose the deal, or you're not going to be able, the job offer is going to be gone off the table or whatever. Anytime I've been in that place, I've just been like,
nope.
Like a lot of times, yeah, I can't say with certainty that every time, but man, that certainly feels like a red flag, you know?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've definitely been the one that's like, oh, we got to do it right now. I mean, I've fallen victim to this a lot.
Yeah, me
and
too.
And every time I do, you watch how it plays out. Like, you probably are thinking this right now, just sitting there in your chair being like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, let us know in the chat if you've ever had something like this.
Yeah.
Where either someone is, yeah,
it's
telling
like, you,
you
have to do,
you gotta
this
do
now.
It, whatever the thing might be.
Whatever anyway. The thing might be. But almost every single time that I've had that pressure, I've watched it play out and been like, oh man, that was not a good choice.
Yeah.
Actually, that was a bad decision.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So point is, if you're ever feeling that frenzy, you know, this is when you need to pause, take that breath and just mm-hmm. relax. Okay. And there's a quote from Warren Buffett. And I always say this because whenever I mention him, somebody's like, oh, you don't know how bad he is. I'm like, great. I'm just talking about him as an investor. I don't go to him for spiritual advice or whatever, anything else. Okay. I do. I'm familiar with that. But as an investor, he's really good. And so he said, there are no called strikes in the game of investing. Okay. And I really like this baseball metaphor here. But just this idea that you can keep taking pitch after pitch and just wait and wait for that
right pitch
and make a good mm-hmm. investment. Right.
Yeah.
All right, so
there's a lot of people
saying
yes. Fools rush in. Yep, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Proverbs 21 puts it like this: the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. You know, and so haste isn't a common word that we use a lot, but if you look at it, what it means, it says excessive speed or urgency of movement or action, hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And so hurry leads to poverty. You could say it that way. Rushed and hurried leads to poverty. But the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Okay? That's what we want to do, right? Plans of the diligent.
I mean, this is one of those things I love about Proverbs. That it's like, if you want to be poor, do this. If you want to be rich, do this.
Yeah.
Like the Bible has, I mean, they have a lot of like, if you do this, then this is the outcome. Mm-hmm. And I love that because we can follow that. It's wisdom that the world is not looking at, that we have a leg up on the competition.
And
you know?
It's complete truth. Like, how
and
great
is
that?
Truth.
How
yeah.
great is that? All right. Mistake number two is only seeing the upside potential of an investment. Okay. So a lot of new investors will, again, listen to this hot stock tip from their brother-in-law or read an article about a stock or a crypto coin or whatever they should buy. Or a real estate investment or whatever, and they will hear the positive side of it. And the fact of the matter is, you can find articles, you can find people talking about the positive side of almost any investment. And this is where amateur investors stop with the positive, okay? You know, because they so desperately want to believe that the upside potential is the thing that's going to happen, and they refuse to look at the risks or the downside potential, okay? And so the rule is, if you don't know how you can lose money, You don't invest until you do. Okay. So if you haven't figured out from a particular investment how you can lose money, then you don't invest until you figure that out. Okay. So when you're researching and deciding how and what to invest in, whether it's index fund, a stock, investment property, again, crypto, business venture, whatever, you have to spend time searching for the downsides. You have to tear the idea apart. Okay. So you want to investigate, look for all the negatives you can find. So literally, if I get really excited about a stock that I want to invest in, I will go look for articles saying why you shouldn't invest in it. And I want to hear what the naysayers are saying. I want to hear what the critics are saying.
Do you have any like quick, what's the word I'm looking
for? Quick somethings.
Stories, like examples. There it is.
That's the word that's hiding on your tongue.
Guys, I'm not going to lie. I have a little bit of a migraine and it's clouding my,
well, you're doing great.
My full thought process. But yeah, are there any quick examples that you can think of or give us?
Well, yeah, let me break down a little bit more of my process anyway, I would encourage you to do. But so whenever I start, like this is what my process. So I will start, because it always starts with the excitement, because that's how you actually find out about the thing or whatever. And so for one example that comes to mind, there was this AI, or not AI, I guess it might have been somewhat AI. Anyway, it's basically like a Roomba for golf courses. Okay, so if that makes sense.
How does that work?
So
does it pick up golf balls?
It's basically, no, cuts the grass on golf courses, which golf courses spend tons of money on, getting the grass cut and whatever. And so this guy created this thing. You could invest in his company, and it's so revolutionary because it's like it's going to cut labor costs by a ton, and all these golf courses are going to save money and all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. And it's electric powered. I guess that's what it is. It's electric powered, so it goes back to its station. It charges itself. Anyway, it just sounds like such a great idea. And I watched it. I'm like, huh, this is really interesting. And I actually had a couple of people asking me if I was going to invest in it. And so I started doing some research. Exactly what we're saying. It's like, what are the downsides of this? Like, what are the risks? You know, and just some of this just on Google, like just kind of searching and why not to invest in X, Y, or Z or whatever the thing might be. And in this case, I discovered something that honestly I was surprised I hadn't thought of, but that's what's so good about it is just this idea that like, this is a battery powered company and Elon Musk, like the thing that really did it for me was just realizing Elon Musk is stepping into different territories. So he, created the car and then now he's creating semis. He's creating robots. He's creating a lot of different robotic, electric stuff. And the fact of the matter is, as I looked at this, I'm like, because they were bragging on how this is a multi-billion-dollar industry and it's so whatever. And I'm like, if it really is, all Elon has to do is point his finger over there and be like, oh, there's a lot of money to be made there. We'll just move
And then they'll just take over.
Like, because he already has all the technology to instantly go over there and just do it. And that, to me, was just way too big of a risk. Because if he did that, like, the entire company is just gone. Like, you won't be able to compete as this little startup with Tesla moving into that world. And so no idea if they are, but that to me was just too big of a risk where it's like, okay, well, even though it looked really good, it's like, that's too much that I'm not going to take a chance on it. It just made it too risky for me, if that makes sense.
And that was a personal choice for you.
Yeah.
So you might have decided, actually, I want to see some healthy competition go, against Tesla or whatever.
Yeah. So that was another one. That was another example. I mean, we're talking about stocks here, but this can apply to anything. It's the same thing with different business ventures that I've considered or even some real estate investments. It doesn't really matter. But there was another Tesla competitor that came up and that I knew the likelihood of them succeeding was pretty low. Or I don't even know if low. Like maybe I would have viewed it as like a 50-50 chance. But if they did, like I assumed I would probably get a 10 to 20 X return on my money over 5-10 years is what I was betting on. And if they didn't, I'd probably lose almost all of it. And it ended up not panning out. It ended up being one of those investments that didn't work out because they couldn't beat Tesla. That's what it comes down to. Like Elon just made it really clear that the manufacturing that Tesla does, it's like, it's very, very challenging to enter that market. And they just couldn't make it. But anyway, so the point is, yes, sometimes I know the risks and I'm willing to take the risks with a small amount of money. And at other times, Yeah.
Right.
So I'm evaluating everything like that. So
yeah, there's two sides to that. And we're not telling you which one to do. We're saying see both of the sides and then make your decision,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because you need to know how you can lose money. Like that's the thing you have to understand, because you can always lose money. There is no sure thing investment. Mm-hmm. Like even a bank CD, because so many people historically have been like, well, I just want a safe investment. I want to put in a savings account in a bank or a bank CD. The truth is you can still lose money.
Yeah.
And yes, it might be FDIC insured, but I'm telling you, there is some way post 2020, there is no way that you can convince me that there is no risk in that, you know, having your money in that bank and that whatever.
Right.
The fact of the matter is there is nowhere where money is 100% safe. And so everything is managing risk, and we just have to understand that and do the best that we can as stewards and managers of what God has entrusted to us.
And then also remembering that God is our provider. So not to freak out on the...
depending on it.
Yeah, not to freak out on the, you know, everything has risk side of it. Putting our trust in God and then managing the risk on a very practical level.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So Proverbs says this, a prudent person with insight foresees danger coming and prepares himself for it. But the senseless rush blindly forward and suffer the consequences. So again, rushing blindly forward like that, I would equate to, oh man, I just heard this thing, this stock's going to be great, and doing no more research. You know, and like, somebody told me this is gonna be great. I'm running forward without actually doing the work.
This
right?
is 100% something I have done.
I know. Well, I have too. That's why we're talking
okay,
about
good,
it.
Good, good, good.
Like, there's no guilt or shame had you done this,
guilt.
You know? Like, this is just part of the process, okay? So
but that's why you're here. You're gonna be so much smarter than we were.
Yeah. Like, I wanna give you a leg up, you know? So, the point of the matter is you're going to make mistakes and they're okay, but I don't want you to stop from trying again, because this is something also I've heard too, where people will make a mistake investing, lose some money, and they're like, oh, I'm never doing that again.
Mm.
And that's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is I invested $500 in that investment and I lost it.
Yeah,
that is $500 of education, okay?
Yeah.
Like, how many of you on here with us have spent 100 times that on a college education. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, my college education was probably $40,000 or $50,000 or something like that. And so you have to view it like that. Like, even when you lose money, let that be part of your education. That's okay. It's okay to lose money. It's actually good to lose money, because it's going to help you not make the same mistake twice.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to help you avoid that. All right. And we get to mistake three.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Diane, I think you are reading our mail. So Diane just said, I've always been taught never invest any money you can't afford to lose.
Look at that, Diane.
Stake number three, investing money that you cannot afford to lose. Diane's got it nailed down. And again, no one likes losing money on investment, but there's a big difference between being disappointed by a loss in your retirement account and then losing your rent money on an investment.
Right.
Okay.
Which feels a little bit more like gambling, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's probably why some people mix the two up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this has happened a lot over, I mean, really since the crypto thing started taking off, I would say 4 years ago. I feel like there's just been a lot of new investors just doing things that just make me cringe and make me, oh, it just breaks my heart. Like, because I've just, yeah, I've seen a lot of this. Like, people say, I put all my money in this coin and I lost my entire life savings. Or I can't pay rent this month because I invested in this thing that was super risky and I lost it all.
Yeah.
And so
that's hard.
This is where wisdom and discernment comes in, and understanding you're investing money that it's okay that you lose. You know what I mean? And that's how we need to be thinking about this, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the rule here is, if you can't buy multiples of something, don't buy one. And this applies outside of investing too, I think. You know, and so this would be
expand.
Someone who wants to buy a really nice handbag. Let's use that illustration.
Okay.
And let's say it cost $500. If you can't buy three of them,
there's a lot more expensive.
I know. Let's just do that for now. If you can't buy three of them, you probably shouldn't buy one. And so the point is that if you have to pull together every ounce of money that you have in all your savings accounts and your checking account, whatever, just to be able to buy one, it means you probably don't have enough to do that. Okay. So does it make sense?
So not that you have to buy multiples. It's just if you do not have enough to buy multiples. Gotcha. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So whether this is a vacation, whether this is Apple products, whatever. Point is, if you can't buy it more than once, you probably don't have enough to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in terms of investing, there's two different angles really to this. And the first one is that if you have to drain your savings account and your checking account to make an investment, you are investing money that you can't afford to lose. You're stretching yourself too thin.
Should we, I'll just ask the question because I'm thinking it. How do you feel about that with homes? Like that's
what do you mean with homes?
The one place where I feel like people are usually taking a loan out rather than doing the reverse and having or doing it.
What's the question?
If I don't have enough to buy three homes, I shouldn't buy one home.
Oh, well.
Because that is an investment.
I don't think that's the same thing.
I got him, guys.
You got me.
No, I think I just wanted to bring that up.
No, I mean,
just as a clarifier.
It's a good clarifier, but yes, I'm not talking about a house.
Okay, so you're talking more about like stocks and stuff. I mean, I'm just trying to clarify.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the rule applies to purchases of wants. There, I feel like it's pretty universal with that, but I'm applying this to investing here.
Gotcha.
Okay, so again, the first thing, like I'm saying, if you have to drain every dollar in your checking account, your savings account, whatever, so that you can invest in this thing, you know, and I actually just had this not too long ago. There was something that I really want to invest in, and it's like we could have pulled it off, but it would have been way too high percentage of what we were investing. So... long story short, I want to be diversified in that I don't want all my money, all my eggs in one basket, so to speak, you know? And it would have just been too much of our investable assets in one thing. And so that was reason enough not to invest in it, even though I was really excited to do it. And I think it would be a really good investment. Mm-hmm. That diversification is important, and I wanted to maintain that. Mm-hmm. So the second angle here to this whole thing is, like I was just saying, this diversification thing. And the Bible talks about this too, and I love this. This is Ecclesiastes 11:2, okay? This is Solomon talking, and he says, give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth, okay? And so, again, like if you only have $20,000 in your life savings, you don't want to put it all in your brother-in-law's new business that he's starting.
Yeah.
Right? And now maybe if you have $20,000 and he's like, man, do you want to be an investor and I and contribute $2,000 or $4,000 and you'll get whatever, 25% equity, or, you know, like that? Okay, then maybe consider it, you know, that it's a smaller percentage of what you're doing. And if your brother's really sharp and he's really got a great idea, but you don't want to throw all your eggs in one basket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we all in agreement on that?
Great.
And I love that Solomon has this specific diversification investing advice in the Bible. Like, how good is this that we can go to the Bible for investing advice?
I love it.
So let's get on to what?
So wise, Solomon.
Yeah, isn't it great? Let's go to, well, one other thing. Let me just touch on this real quick because this is fascinating. Mm. This give your portion to seven or even to eight. There was actually a really technical analysis and study that was done of basically the best diversification ratios and of like, it looked back at like hundreds of years of investing in the stock market and different, different things like commodities and stocks and bonds and whatever, all this stuff. And basically it determined that this seven or eight different investments as a diversification thing is the best and it actually is the safest.
Wow.
So point
more
is-
more than like 50.
Yeah, the Bible, because you can have 50, but what happens is if something does really well, you're not going to see much of that benefit. Does that make sense? Because it's only 1/50th of the thing.
That is so funny.
And so anyway, and that's just another one of those things. It's like the Bible is so amazing that it, all this is in here.
I love
that.
And
if we just tap into the wisdom that's in the Bible, like we can benefit and science is proving that out, you know?
Yeah,
so,
love it.
Anyway, all right, mistake number four, not listening to your spouse. This is why you're here, hon. So I am convinced that God, you know, actually has intentionally put us together, mm-hmm. and really, I think, puts most husbands and wives together. Mm-hmm. And part of that is to cover each other's blind spots.
Yeah.
And so I have blind spots. Mm-hmm. You have blind spots. And we both, and, you know, if you are married, you and your spouse, you both have blind spots. Let's be real. And
hate to break it to you.
If we allow our spouse to speak into that, mm-hmm. We can cover those spots.
Yeah. Well, and I heard some marriage advice one time where they said, if it's a no for one, it's a no for both. Just, that was kind of their blanket thing.
That's so the rule right here.
If your spouse is like, I really, really want to do this. And then you're like, I feel really not good about that. I don't feel safe. I feel like it's a bad idea. Then you go with the no.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's a yes for both, then.
Okay. So why don't you tell the story about that one business thing that I was looking at?
Well, yeah. And I will say, walking through this really helped me gain confidence in myself and understanding that the Lord was letting me in on some, I don't know.
This being the situation that you haven't explained yet?
This situation that we're talking about, yeah. The Lord was like letting me in on something that I couldn't put my finger on, but I just knew there was something off. So Bob was like, hey, I'm going to go with this guy and his wife, and I'm going to go get an office with them. And I was like,
lease an
really?
Office space. He basically had a space and he had some extra space in there.
And Bob was actually getting kind of more and more involved with him. And I was like, something is not right about this guy. I don't know what it is. Everything looked fine. He's a Christian, you know, the whole thing.
I mean, really sharp at business. Like, it would just been a good, it would have been a great office to work in.
But
like,
every time Bob would bring up this person at all or working in the space, I just had this like gears grinding inside of me. Like, this is a bad idea. This is not, there's something wrong here. I don't know what it is. And I mean, I told Bob and he was like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Like, he honestly just blew me off a little bit. And I don't mean that. You don't normally do that. But I think you were just like, you just thought I didn't get it. You just thought I didn't know him well enough. How many times have we done that? I've done that so many times. You just don't even know. You don't know them. But you were doing that in this situation. And that's not normal for you. So, you know, I just kind of prayed and I was like, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but would you just sort this out? Well, I mean, it was like 2 days before they were supposed to get this office. Him and his wife ended up having this big, what would you say? How would you like to explain this?
We'll just
things
say
were there not were, what they seemed.
There were just a lot of things that were hidden that came to light.
To light.
That it was just not good.
This person has ended up walking away from the Lord. I mean, there just was a lot there that was all really hidden. And I knew that there was something wrong. I couldn't figure out what it was because there was nothing obvious. But it helped me realize, and I think it helped Bob realize that this thing, when if it's a no for one, it's a no for both. And not that we were like in like this huge disagreement about it, because I didn't really have any real reason why I was saying no, you know? And so I was just kind of like, well, I guess Bob knows. I mean, I was trusting you. And I ended up being right. And I felt so justified. I mean, it really brought a lot of confidence to me. I'll just say that. And so now when I am like, there's something off here.
It's an immediate no.
I don't know what it is. I feel like he's gained the confidence in me to trust me, and I've gained the confidence to push back when I'm like, there's something really not right about this, and I don't know what it is. Yeah. So we are together for a reason, and, you know, if you're married, you and your spouse are together, or if you're going to be married, you know, God puts you together for a reason.
This is one of the reasons, a question that comes up a lot when I talk about investing is, or do you talk to Linda about your investments? And the answer is generally yes. I think there are some areas where it's like, I don't know that she wants to give any input, but anything that is unique or going to stretch us in any way or whatever else, yes, I always talk to mm-hmm. her because I just want to I want to lean into her intuition and
because
her being able to hear from God.
Yeah, I think that's the thing it is because I won't oftentimes have like real strong feelings about particular companies or even the crypto I don't fully understand. But Bob will always talk to me about it. He'll kind of say, these are the pros, these are the cons. And it's good for me to just have the... like an outsider's perspective of listening to hear if the Lord wants to give me any direction.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. There you go. And then kind of doing the flip side of this a little bit to like, all right, well, what if you have a spouse who's just, you know, terrified of all investing and will never be in agreement. And I don't necessarily have the answer for that. I feel like it's a little bit more of a marital thing, but I will say this, like another example of this where we didn't agree, but we came to a point of agreement was if you've read our book and you know what the bubble torus is, when we first bought the bubble torus or when we were considering buying the bubble torus, basically we're at a point at that time, we were on the beginning of our journey. Things were pretty tight financially. We're living in an apartment, a one bedroom apartment, not earning a lot of money. I think we had paid off a few debts, and long story short, my sister had a 10, 12-year-old Taurus. Both of our cars were probably 8 or 9 years
aging.
Old and getting older and getting a little bit less dependable and whatever. And my sister had this old, it was probably 12 years old, old bubble Taurus, as we like to call it. And so she was about to sell it to a dealer and trade it in for $1,000. And I'm like, because I knew how well she had taken care of that car. I knew that was a great car. And I'm like, the dealer's going to only give you $1,000 for it? Let me give you $1,000 for it. So I wanted to buy that car for $1,000. It was a third car for us, which we did not need at the moment. But I also knew that if one of our cars went out, the engine blew out or something like that it would be really helpful to have a car that we could depend on. You know?
Said, I'm buying this as an insurance policy.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a $1,000 insurance policy on our cars. Yeah. That was my mindset with it. And so...
And I said, can I have the $1,000 instead?
Yeah, like that's where the conversation started. but we continued just to discuss it and back and forth. And it's like, it wasn't... Yeah, there wasn't any point where either of us completely put our foot down, but we discussed it until we got to the point where it's like, all right, I think... Yeah, you came in agreement.
Yeah. Other thing was Bob had really strong feelings about this, and I just wanted the money. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't something's not right. It was a, well, I'd just rather have the money. And I think that was kind of the difference in that situation. Is that, but you know, sometimes you have to work through personal preferences and, you know, even like if there's baggage there, you have to just work through things. And so I think that still stands. If you don't agree, there's a reason why, and maybe it's something that needs to be worked through instead of it's just a hard no. But for right now, it's a hard no.
Yeah.
Until you work through it and figure out why.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, on to mistake number 5, which is not factoring in the value of your peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if any investment, or really anything, I guess, costs me my sleep or something that I'm worried about as a result of me kind of investing in it, I don't buy it because it's just too high of a cost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so many of us spend money to make us feel more at peace. Like we buy alarm systems or life insurance or decor for our home or vacations or whatever. Like we buy these things to help us feel more at peace. So why would you invest in something or buy something that takes peace away?
Mm-hmm.
Like it just doesn't make sense. And yet people make this investments like this all the time. It's like they will invest in something hoping that, oh, it's going to 10X, it's going to make me rich or whatever. But I'm so nervous all the time. And every single night I go to bed nervous, wondering if I'm going to lose my money on this investment, you know? And so the rule is, if it adds stress, it's not worth it, okay? Because I don't need any more stress in my life, do you?
No, definitely not.
So, and again, from experience, having invested in things that stress me out, I decided I'm done with that, you know? And my investment approach, I know some of you are in our 10X investing course, my approach is a passive approach that I only need to check our investments one time a year, and I sleep fine the rest of the year. And I sleep great, and I really like that.
Well, yeah, and that was definitely a choice.
What was?
This? Yeah, you've made this a rule because it was a choice that you had to make where you could go back and forth and be like, oh, well, it went down a little bit this day, so I'm going to sell and I'm going to try and do something that's doing better, you know. Like, it's easy to do that.
Well, it's the worst way to invest. It's the fastest way to lose your
getting in the short grocery store line and then you notice that this register is exactly moving like so that. Slow. So you switch over to the other one and then that one's moving slow and there's a hold up because the egg's broke and now they got to get a new carton of eggs and, you know. And then you go back to the other one and then that one's...
You send the bagger out to get a new thing of eggs and then he just walks like...
He's just like, oh, okay, sure.
Take my time. Get my headphones in.
This is my break. I'm going to take a smoke break while I'm on.
I'm going to go the long way to the egg section.
Anyway. But yeah, I mean, that's really what that feels like. It's because there's no way to actually know.
Yeah.
Which is why the long approach works so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's another tip here too. Like, because again, I see new investors doing this all the time. They will invest in something, index fund, a stock, whatever, a crypto coin, and then they will put all these tickers all over their phone so that every single second they open their phone, they're seeing whether it's going up or down. And if you want to be a day trader, like you need to commit and be a day trader where you're going in and out of investments back and forth all day long. And that is a different skill set. That is something I don't teach. I don't do that. I don't like it at all because it's way too stressful. Mm-hmm. Like I can't think of much that'd be more stressful than that. And so I only invest in things that I only have to check on once a year, which is why I don't have all those tickers all over my phone. And I don't look at things. And I would recommend that you don't either. Like the long-term slow and steady approach is far more peaceful and passive. And so it's like you don't have to think about it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, on the other side of the coin, kind of flipping out one other thing here too, my accountant still is very dumbfounded by why we paid off our house because he just sees all the benefits of having a mortgage and all this stuff. And it's like, the reason we did is because of this. Mm. It's not because it was the best mathematical investment, if you will, but the peace of mind that it provided.
Yeah.
That was the reason why we did that. And so you can get out the calculator and you can prove me wrong with the math of why, well, you should have taken that money and invested it. You could earn more than, you know, whatever. You can do that, but that doesn't factor in the peace of mind and how much I value that. And that's why we did that. Okay.
Yep.
And so Proverbs 14:30 says it like this: a heart at peace gives life to the body, but mm-hmm. envy rots the bones. And so, again, like, and you can be whatever kind of investor you want, but my approach is, again, more passive, more relaxed. It's just the way I like doing it.
Yeah.
It's just more fun.
Well, and this really speaks to contentment also.
Yeah, I think so. And it just feels like more like the kingdom.
Yeah.
Like that. I think that's just what it is. Like, the frantic day trading stuff. And again, I'm not at all saying like it's unbiblical and you shouldn't do that. I'm just saying this just feels more like the kingdom.
Yeah.
The slow and steady approach. That's how trees grow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we have a big garden in our backyard and trees that last a long, long time, they grow slow, you know?
Yeah.
But you can have some weeds pop up real, real fast and it'll be here and then gone in a couple weeks, you know?
Yep.
So anyway, and I just prefer kind of that approach. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we got to start. So I don't know where you are in your investing journey, and I pray that this is beneficial, and I pray that you take some of these ideas and concepts to heart and you just hang on to them and don't forget them and whatever else, and go back and watch the replay, take notes if you didn't get to tonight. But there's a whole lot more to learn about investing, and if you are wanting to start investing, this is a little bit of a checklist of things that I would recommend to learn kind of before you start, you know? Mm. And so asking this question, like, what should I actually invest in? Which investments are best for your goals and your risk tolerance? You know, What investment platforms are best for beginners? How do you avoid the common mistakes when opening the account? How much do you need to start? How often should you check your investments? You already got a clue there of what I do. But, you know, the critical decision of whether you invest in a Roth or traditional or no IRA, what are the risks involved? You know, how do you pick investments that reduce or minimize the risk of loss? You know, and what do you do when your investment goes up a lot? How do you diversify? Like all these different questions here are questions that if I were starting over, this is what I would make sure I learned before I invested my first dollar or my next dollar. So even if you've started, I think, you know, screenshot this, take this, make sure that you're doing this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because I remember being clueless about all this stuff when I started and needing all the help I could get. And so, like, that's – and ultimately, you know, why we created our 10X investing course we were talking about, because – we did it because I wanted to answer all these questions for anybody else who had them and was kind of going through this. And so that's what we do in there. And, you know, while showing you exactly, you know, how our approach is and what we're doing and everything else like that. And so, of course, we would love to serve you with our 10X investing course if that's something you're interested in. And I'll tell you more about it in a minute. But regardless of how or where you continue your investing education, please do it. Okay. Your future self will thank you very, very much.
Oh, yeah.
So don't stop your investing education.
Yeah.
Okay. Regardless of whether we can help you or not, like, please just keep learning, keep growing in it. Okay. And I think, I don't know if I talked about this tonight, but learning how to invest was one of the most life-changing things for us financially. And has allowed us to, you know, first and foremost, be able to give on a much higher level than we ever thought possible. And, you know, and that's what I want for you. Like, that's our secret or not so secret agenda. It's like, how do we help you as stewards of what God's entrusted to you, multiply that and turn that into more, you know? And I think a lot of people think this is rocket science and it's so complicated. And really, that's the lie of the financial industry, I think, is that it's so complicated and you have to have this big finance degree to do it. And it turns out it's just far simpler than I think they want us to believe it. I worked in the financial industry for a long time, and you know, there's a lot of great people. I have a lot of financial advisors who are friends, and a lot of great people in that world. But I think the industry as a whole has tried to make it feel like this is far more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, so, and that's what is great. I feel like about the way you teach is that you do make things really simple. As simple as they can possibly be.
I am doing my best, you know.
So some things are a little bit more complicated, but you make them as simple as they can possibly be.
Yeah. So regardless of how you continue to get educated, please just keep learning and make sure you understand every investment that you make, you know. And I said, like, there's a lot of investing courses out there. Like, I've seen some as high as, like, $40,000, $50,000, like, if you really want to go deep, you know. And like I said, we'll tell you about our course in a minute for anybody who's interested. But regardless, take these rules to heart and just follow them. Like, these things that we talked about, like, don't forget them. Hang on to them. Okay. All right. So this is our current package and promo that we're running. And so if you want any help getting started in all into this, making your first investment, exploring a lot of other strategies that we've used.
Or making your second, right?
Yeah. This is a simple long-term approach that anyone can master, regardless of your background, your education. Like, my mentor, my investing mentor, was a millionaire school teacher who got me started on all this stuff. And, you know, and he didn't start investing until his, I guess it was late 30s. And then by the time he had retired, he was a multimillionaire. And so
just living the dream he was.
Well, he was teaching guitar lessons to me, like, just for fun. That was his hobby,
for fun,
you know, and just doing what he wanted. And, anyway, and so he just kind of, I'm so thankful that I got to learn the lessons that I did from him. And that's kind of what kicked me off. So a little bit of what we're covering in this whole course, we answer all the questions I just shared on this previous slide. Like, all of this is kind of the foundation of it, what we're covering. But, beyond that, like, we're talking about the right and wrong places to actually make your first investment and how to do it. Like, we've researched dozens and dozens of different, basically investing platforms and what we like best. You'd be getting our access to our seven day step-by-step roadmap that takes you from basically knowing nothing about investing to making your first investment with confidence. We talk about how to invest in a way that's biblically responsible and that honors God.
Love that.
We talk about how to 10X your investments. And part of this too is to be able to help you pay off your house. And so my mentor, I still remember him telling me like how he paid off his house. And the day that he and his wife decided, hey, this investment has gone up so much, like we could just sell it and pay off our house. And I remember like my jaw dropped, like, are you serious? And then it was probably less than 10 years later, we did the same thing. And
That's
we had
crazy.
That moment where we could sell off one of our investments and make that final payment on our mortgage. And anyway, and I would love for that to happen to you. I would love for that to be your story as well.
Yeah, let's pass that on.
Yeah, like I would love that. Nothing would bring me more joy. And again, like we talk about how to assess your risk tolerance and invest safely according to your temperament, because it doesn't matter what we do. It's like it has to be right for you and for your family so you can sleep at peace. Mm-hmm. Again, because everybody has different tolerances with us. We talk about how you can invest like billionaires, literally stealing their strategies that are easy to follow and that can be implemented in about 10 minutes or less. I talk about how I would invest if I were 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years out from retirement, or even if I was in retirement, because a lot of students have asked about that. I'm 5 years away, 10 years away, and I can't give financial advice because I'm not your financial advisor, but I can tell you what I would do in that situation, and then you can see if that makes sense for your situation.
Yeah.
And then in the second half of the program, like we get into a whole bunch of different types of investing, so like how to get started in real estate investing with as little as $500, the stock picking strategy that we've used that have yielded a bunch of 10X returns and then some that were way beyond, like even 27X and 34X returns. You get access to a list of 50 of the best dividend paying stocks that are passive income stocks. So a dividend paying stock is one that each quarter they're going to pay you money. So you don't just make money on it going up in value, which you can, but also you make money for when they send you dividend payments each quarter, which is super fun. And then we talk about how to find mutual funds that earn 12% or more in just 5 minutes using a free tool. There's just so much in it. I'm, telling you everything that's here. But the best thing about it, I think, is that this isn't theory. Like, it's stuff that I've actually done and who's actually doing it. Because I've bought, honestly, a lot of my college education. I learned from people who were teaching me about business who hadn't owned a business and they're reading textbooks to me, but they hadn't actually done it, And so that's what this is it's basically everything we've done, what's worked for us. We share our strategies and then we constantly update it to reflect that, right? And so, like I said, you could get a finance degree and go spend somewhere from, according to Google, $24,000 to $75,000 for a finance degree. And you can kind of learn a lot of this stuff. And everyday people are happily paying this, many taking out loans that'll take them decades to pay off. And this all, without a guarantee that it's any good at all or that's going to work at all, And this is why I love online education, because like, what if you could get just as good, if not better, investing education for about, 1% of the time it takes you to go through a four-year degree that was biblically based, that the instructors had actually done the thing they were teaching. And then, it's about 98% less than the $24,000 to $75,000, that others are paying for a finance degree at a traditional college, And this is why I love online education so much and why online education in general is like growing like crazy, because that's exactly why we created this 10X course, so that we could do that and create, I think, a far better offer than going to school for 4 years to learn about all this,
Yeah.
So our course, anybody's interested, so it's not $75,000, it's not $24,000. Our everyday price for our 10X Plus course is $497. Mm-hmm. And then we're currently doing a 20% off discount that drops it down to $397. Wow. Which feels like, man, this is a steal. But anyway, we'd love to have you join it if anybody's interested. But we got a couple bonuses that we are including here as well to kind of make it even better deal. We've had a lot of parents who are like, how do I help my kids? Like, how do I set them up for success? And so we created this course, How to Make Your Kid a Millionaire mini course, where I basically break down the exact strategy of how I've opened up Roth IRAs for our kids at age 6. And a lot of people think you need to wait till you're 18. It's like, no, you don't. Your kids just need earned income. And so I talk about how we got our kids earned income so that they can open,
you know,
without
breaking any of the child labor laws.
Yeah, we got them earned income so we can open a Roth IRA for them.
Yeah.
And here's the wonderful magical math about this. If you invest $2,000 at the age, I'll just say it this way. If had our parents invested $2,000 when we were born, and then the stock market plays out like it has, by age 65, that it turns into $1 million, more than that, actually. And so one investment of $2,000 over 65 years is $1 million. And that's crazy. And that's
that
once
crazy.
I saw that, I'm like, all right, we got to do something for our kids and get them set up. So anyway, so we have a mini course in there breaking all of this down. And so that's part of the bonus that we're offering with this package right now. And then the other thing that we're doing is for the first 10 students to enroll in this promo, we're throwing in our 10X mentorship, which we charge $297 for, where I basically open up all my investment accounts and show you every single investment that I own. And then you can borrow or steal any ideas that you like. You can simply copy them. And again, you might not want to do them. And this is why I recommend going through the whole course, taking your risk assessment quiz that we have in there, and deciding for yourself if you want to, but you can just copy off us and see what we're doing. What's Bob doing over there? You know, you're welcome to do that. Okay. And then the other part of that mentorship too that we include is anytime I make a change. So if I sell an investment or buy something new, I will text or email you and let you know, which like I said, it's not very often because I only check my investments once a year. But that's what happens. And so if there is something where something happens and it's like, oh, I need to sell that, and like there's a problem, like I will let you know about it. So anyway, so that's available for the first 10 students that enroll. And yeah, so that's the current promo that we're running. And I want to, let's do this giveaway now. Let's do this $100 Amazon gift card.
Thanks for hanging with us.
Let's see. Let's see. I'm going to ask my team. We got a winner. I had our team go ahead and pick a winner for us. And our winner of this giveaway is Ashna Lewis.
Woo-hoo.
Congratulations, Ashna.
That woo-hoo was really weird, wasn't it?
Was that a weird woo? Did you do a weird woo?
It was a weird one.
But again, like I said from the beginning, our goal, our desire is just that, yeah, you take these lessons that we talked about tonight, take them to heart, hang on to them. And run with them.
Yep.
And so anything else you want to add? Any other final words?
That's it.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right. Thanks for coming to hang out, y'all. And we will see you next time. Adios.
Do you want some more Bob and Linda in your life? How about this?
Of course.
How would you like to hang out with us for 6 weeks and your small group or church?
And if you want to do that, just go to seedtime.com/true to find out more details. Or send us a message, DM on Instagram at seedtime, and let's chat.